Hello and welcome to this Liberty podcast. I'm your host, Molly May Taylor, and this week is National Customer Service Week 2020. I am joined by three guests, Dave Conlon, a Senior Contracts Manager, Linda Burrows, who is a Customer Experience Lead, and finally, Dennis Hassan, who is Operations Manager for the Southwest. We will be discussing which parts of customer service is most important to our guests and how customer care has changed in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic and as we move on to digital channels. So thank you very much for joining us. Firstly, I would like to start with a small icebreaker. So my first question, 72% of customers will share a positive customer service experience with friends and family. Can you take a guess at how many individual people they are likely to share the experience with?
Probably three or four.
I was going to say eight.
I'd have probably said about four.
Okay. I think I'm thinking negative. They'll certainly repeat more negative than positives, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the answer is six or more. So normally around six is the amount they share a positive one with.
In contrast, how many people will a customer share their negative customer service experience with?
Ten.
I think it used to be around about 10, but I think now with social media and everything that's going on, I know when someone upsets me, I'll explode and I'll let everyone who will listen to me know. Yeah. So I think that 10 is probably closer to 100 now, because if you roughed it out, but I know that with social media, it's exploding far more.
I would have probably said around the 20 mark. Even with, I agree with you, social media. Obviously, it's giving outlets to people to do that. So I'd have probably said about 20.
Okay, not far off. The answer is 15, actually. So not quite as negative as we think, but it's still quite a lot compared to the positive.
And finally, how many positive customer experiences does it take to make up for one negative one?
Ooh, good question. I would say you'd have to do at least four or five positives to start getting people to believe in you again.
Okay.
Based on negative experience,
I'd say maybe three.
Yeah, no, if it was a maths question, first of all, he's trying to trick us out, trying to divide the negatives by the positives. Sometimes you can't repair a negative, can you? It's irrelevant. You can't always check. So I'd probably say 10 again, 10 to 15.
Well, the answer is 12. So
wow.
Wow.
So I hope those statistics were interesting for you. So moving on to our discussion, what is the most important thing for you about customer service?
Well, for me, I think it's just treat people how you would expect to be treated yourself. And I know people use that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but if we create that culture within our business and we set an expectation level where we all have the same level of dealing with a problem, then it helps. There's no inconsistencies. We get people that work for us to understand what we want to do. I just think when you sometimes go to companies and you deal with one person who is really good and then you deal with someone who's not so good and then you deal with someone who don't even know you've spoke to both of them people. And the inconsistencies, for me, I want consistency. I want to know that the next person I'm speaking to or the person I'm speaking to knows what my complaint is. Not, oh, I'll speak to this person, I'll come back, I'll do this, I'll do that, and never does. I want consistency. And I want people to do what they tell me they're going to do as far as delivery and as far as when I want a good customer service to me.
You want people that are going to give you, make you feel confident that they know what you want. So they're able to almost build that relationship with you to fully understand what you're expecting so that they can then make sure that what you're expecting is the same as what they're trying to deliver. So it's all about them, you know, them connecting with you, having that empathy, and also having the communication throughout anybody else that might be in the train to make sure that level of service continues through, you know, like you say, through the delivery people or whoever else is involved.
I mean, for me, I think one of the key things is actually just doing what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
I think probably in our line of work, I think the key factor is, from a repairs point of view, if we say we're going to turn up, we turn up. If we give them a time, we turn up at that time. We make sure we're equipped with the materials that we need from start to finish, just let people know where they're at. If you're not going to be getting there at a certain time, advise your customer. If a product's not going to be able to get there, you tell the customer.
Yeah.
I think that big, the communication side of it probably goes a long way to actually ensuring you've got good customer service. Because when I've been contacted in the past, then it's been, well, we can't get there now, Mr. Conlon. There's been a delay here. This has happened, but we'll be there tomorrow afternoon. You go, you're not happy. You think, oh, God, I wanted it now. But you think, but they've told me I can now have my afternoon out because I'm not waiting in for that parcel. So that's where I think our customer service is really about delivering what we're saying.
Customer care is all the way through, but we've got to put the foundations in place by delivering the job correctly in the first place, whether that be from answering the phone to fitting the boiler to tidying up after us to explaining the controls. If we don't do that stuff, it escalates into complaints. So I think good customer care starts with knowing our job correctly and doing our job correctly.
So we're in very different times now, and in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, we're largely moving to digital platforms to deliver customer service. Do you think there is a difference in how we deliver outstanding customer service when it is digital or face-to-face?
I think there's a time and a place for it along the whole customer journey. I think some people outsource a lot of their work and make it far too digital, which takes away that personal touch. If you're dealing with a complaint and something like that, it's always better to try and deal with it face-to-face. Obviously, we've got these issues now where we can't go into people's property sometimes, so we may have to use video conferencing. But there is a place for digital customer services as far as the feedback and stuff where people are given more time to actually think about responses and summarise what's been done in their properties. So I think along the customer journey, I think it needs to be a good balance.
I agree with you, Dennis. I think you're right in what you're saying there. Probably from my, I suppose in some ways as well, I'd look at it and think there's maybe some complaints. You don't really need the face-to-face side of it, depending on the size of that complaint. But if you've got a more severe complaint with someone, not going down, speaking face-to-face with them, looking at what's there. And I think sometimes when you're face-to-face with someone, they can see your sincerity in terms of trying to actually resolve the issue and have an understanding for that issue. So I think you're right. I think it's got to be a balance. I think, there is, like you said, there's a place for digital. And really, moving forward, digital will be a part of what we do. But it's using it effectively, and it's not losing some of the tools as we go on that journey to lose the face-to-face touch, which I think would take away some of the sincerity and feeling. We become a little bit more that, you know, you can say sorry to someone, they can see you mean it.
I think depending on the complaint, I think you can deal with it digitally as long as you're responding timely. So if somebody's done a tweet or something to make a complaint, as long as that's picked up quite quickly and they're contacted and they know that someone's dealing with it and they're kept informed throughout, I think you can digitally rebuild that confidence, but I do think it's a lot easier to do it by telephone or face-to-face. I think generally customer service digitally is starting to work a lot better than it did, you know, a few years ago. And again, I think it's all about if you've got a query about a product or something and you're talking on the chat line, it's how long you're left waiting to get an answer and whether that answer is connected to your query or just a general kind of answer that doesn't really, it's almost like a robot's answering you and not really getting to the point that you're trying to make. And so if you are using digital methods, we just need to make sure that we are aware of that and we're picking that up and we are dealing, one, in a timely manner, and two, appropriate to the question or the subject that the person is communicating to us with.
I think it's great because we've got all these at our dispense, and things like when it goes really cold and we get things like a frozen condense or we get boilers, if we've got somewhere where we can divert people to watch a video or to understand why they're having that problem whilst they're waiting for us to come and do the job, or they're talking to someone on the phone who they feel's not listening, they understand that we're trying to look out for their best interests. So I think there's loads of things that we can use, and there's loads of things that we can build into the way that we deliver our customer service, but we just need to not take away that personal side that makes people think that we're just fobbing them off or something. Yeah. So it's a balance, and it's about knowing when to use it and when not to use it.
Well, like you say about that, about the, you know, obviously the digital stuff, one of the things I'm trying to get in place at the moment is we have our customers where they can send in pictures. So for me, when, for example, I'll go back to kitchens again, you could have a kitchen unit there that's damaged by a customer. By sending a picture digitally, we can probably assess what, you know, what type of a unit we need, because we can see what it is, we can see what the door style is. We can order that product there and then. It reduces having to go out to a property, which, you know, we talked about the first time fixed before, Dennis. Then what we do, we order that in. So the first time we visit that customer's property is with the item that we need to carry out the work and do the job there and then. Now, that's what digital world can give us in terms of trying to develop a customer service and delivery service that's, you know, taking it to the next levels.
I think ultimately the best customer service is when you're giving customers the option. So those that want to talk face to face or over the telephone are able to do that. But if somebody's happy to go through it digitally, then, or even by email or whatever, then they've got the option to do that. And if that's what they're comfortable with, then that's absolutely fine. But if they feel that their issue is more urgent than that and they want to speak to somebody, they've got that option there as well.
So finally, for our last question, I'd like you to show recognition to somebody within the organisation who always delivers excellent customer service.
His name's John Isaac. Since we went into lockdown back in March, all of my teams started to work from home. Within a few weeks, we had a few issues. Some people had, laptop issues. A couple of people had issues because they were using their dining chairs, so they were getting backaches and things like that. John Isaacs has actually, on a number of occasions, gone completely out of his way for us, total way above his job role, and he's actually taken chairs round to some of my staff to give them a comfortable chair to sit in, and delivered things, you know, out to people in their homes. Out when he finishes work, so he'll finish his shift and then they'll go around and deliver something for him. I think internal customer service, I think that is absolutely outstanding of him, and I do think that, you know, he should get some recognition for that.
The person who affects my team the most in customer service with a client is a guy called Sean Alloway. And Sean does our customer delivery, but every time he does our training, but he's been helping me with customer services with our clients. And he always goes above and beyond on everything he does. Now, there's other people in the business that I could name quite easy that have been a massive, massive help to me since I've been here and will always help me if I ask them, which is so much appreciated joining a new company. But Sean will not just do the job, he will pick it up and he will then run with it, and then the customer will come back over the moon and then takes the pressure off, and he's delivered a service to the client that they're over the moon with, and it's really appreciated from my team. So.
When I work for Ian Elsa, who's one of the directors, and to be fair to Ian, he's a very fair person, but he takes the company so seriously that he feels the pain when things go wrong. And what he's good at actually getting things done in terms of that. And he's instilled that into the people who work for him. A lot of employees that we've got have gone through the ranks into management over the years, as I said, because I've been here a long time. Ian's instilled that into people, and one of the ones who are really showing that now is probably Brian Tennant. Now, Brian Tennant is one of my managers over at Cheshire West, and he's just got on board with Wrexham over the last couple of years, where we've got a few contracts over there, and his customer service, where he drives all the time to ensure that he's delivering the service in the right way, always engaging with the client. And he really, really takes it to heart if things don't go right, and does everything he can to make sure he can turn that round. And the effort that he puts in is phenomenal. And the reputation we've got with Wrexham now is really, really strong. And that has come from the really, really good customer service he's put in with his team, working with them to develop it, to get it to that level.
Well, thank you very much to our guests for their insightful discussions. And thank you to you for listening.